This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's Diageo BarAcademy.com.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Greg, how the hell are you, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm good. I had a hell of a weekend. How about you, man? Yeah.
I did, so, actually.
Tell me about
but
it.
I want to hear about yours first.
Okay. No, you go first. All right. So first of all, it was a beautiful weekend for one of the 2 days here in New York. Really, really nice on Sunday. And I was lucky because one of my best buddies was visiting from DC. He and I actually met when we were a part of an opening staff of a brewery 9 years ago. And, we've stayed friends since then. I was the best man at his wedding last summer and the summer before that because COVID. And he was up here visiting. So we got to, ride our bikes around the park, visit a bunch of cool spots, including your friend Pepper at Grand Army, Damon. And, still try and pretend that we were, 22, which gets harder and harder every time we hang out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, 22. Geez. I'd already been drinking in bars for like 6 years at that point.
I know.
I was ready to give it up.
I know. It's getting too old for this shit. Yeah. But so part of the impetus, the excuse for the reason we were hanging out this weekend was the new Batman movie came out. And we both like superhero movies. They're kind of our preferred form of brain candy. You know, they're fun to sneak a little flask of Kingston Negroni in and just chill out.
Thanks.
So we went to a really late showing on Friday. And because both of us had a long day and were exhausted and had been drinking a lot, both of us wound up taking a nap during the movie, which, again... I'm not 22 anymore, and sometimes I forget that. So on Saturday, we're hanging out. We're in downtown Brooklyn, and we're like, you know what? Let's give this another shot. Let's try this showing at Alamo. So we wind up seeing the Batman again on Saturday, and then going and having some cocktails and some oysters after the fact at Grand Army, which is super fun. Then Sunday, we're biking around the park. We're hanging out at Holiday Cocktail Lounge, We're tired. We're getting a little tipsy, as one does at Holiday Cocktail Lounge. And me, as a joke, I say, there's a 9 o'clock showing of the Batman at this place that's right around the corner from my apartment in Bay Ridge. And I'm sure we've all been there. But those jokes that start out not serious at all, and then the more you talk about them, the more you're like, yeah, I think we're actually going to do this. So I saw the Batman. The first 3 nights that it was out in theaters, it was my weekend with Batman. It was fun.
It
was a good time to relive the glory days of when we were weazened old men of 22 and 23 drinking in bars. And I definitely paid for it on Monday morning.
Are you also one of those guys who like waits in line for the new iPhone? It's pretty
only. Only superhero movies, not gadgets. That's gotcha. The superhero movies and once a year in Baltimore, Belgian beers, but that's it. I don't wait in line for that. I podcast, Damon. People send me shit. I don't have to wait in line
true.
For it.
That's
anymore.
True. Totally, man. Well, that sounds great. I mean, it sounds like kind of a freewheeling weekend. It kind of worry free, man. That's kind of how my weekend was too. I had a friend in town who was her birthday, and we my brother happened to host a party at his house, but we all went to dinner, a group of 25 of us. Basically it was like a buyout of a restaurant, but but it felt normal. It's things are starting to feel normal again, but I did something like you were doing last month. I went sober for a little bit of last week, a few days, and it made the impact of the party. It was kind of like your weekend too. I was like, damn, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I did get to drink a lot of good, really great wine with some friends and hang out. Actually, we're going to be talking about wine today. Speaking of, you know, for, I think some of the listeners have probably caught on to this by now, but, so I still, thanks for going by Grand Army this weekend. That's awesome. I'm still a co-owner of Grand Army. I don't really bartend anymore so much. I do some guest bartending every once in a while, some presentations, things like that. But I live in California, specifically in the Bay Area. And I work in Napa, and I'm wine adjacent. So I am the experiential specialist for the California Brandy House in downtown Napa. So it's fun for me because I get to work in both wine and spirits. When you're talking about California Brandy, you're really talking about a spirit category that covers both. And I know that you're not too much of a wine guy, but we're going to talk about it a lot today because in the studio, we actually have someone from a very important winery. Probably like when you're talking like Napa Valley wines, it probably can't get more important than the one we're going to talk about today. I wish I would have popped a bottle of wine, but it's 9 a.m. here, so I probably shouldn't do that. But we do have Christy Whitman in the studio today. She's the director of winemaking at the Prisoner Wine Company. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Thank you very much, Damon. Glad to be here. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, indeed. Are you drinking wine?
Good afternoon.
Are you working?
I do have several bottles in front of me, but nice. At about 10 a.m., we're going to be blending one of our new products that we'll be coming out with later this year. So that'll be awesome. Exciting.
Can you tell us about it? Can you give us a little sneak preview?
Oh, maybe.
Ooh. Maybe we'll get to that later in the show because we got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we do.
It's always funny because my friend Lucas Plant up in Portland, I'm a motorcycle guy. He's also a motorcycle guy. We're like brothers and like we probably FaceTime at least once a day, but he'll be hanging out in his garage, smoking cigars and drinking the Prisoner. And he's always like, I'm going to go crush some Prisoner out in the garage, like sitting next to my choppers. And I'm just like, man, you're living like the best life. But let's talk about, what you do and like kind of the origin story of the Prisoner, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, I make wine, which is one of the greatest jobs, in the world and, allows me to love what I do. So I enjoy coming to work every day. It's pretty amazing. I've been just a little background. I've been in the wine industry for a little over 20 years and, I've been with the Prisoner for 6, and by far it has been the best winemaking experience in my career, and has really, I think, just shaped my whole world, you know, and I've learned so much because making the Prisoner is a pain in the ass. So
that's like what we do. We do things that are like hard to do and hopefully the product is, spectacular.
Yeah. It's pretty, amazing. I remember, my first vintage was 2016. And, when we were looking at all of the components, and then we tasted them, we decided what's in, what's out. And then we put the blend together and you're like, oh my God, that's Prisoner. It was like, it was a pretty amazing experience because it was hard to kind of get there. And then once you got there, it was like, wow, this is awesome. But you know, the Prisoner, it's been around for a little over 20 years. And it was started by Dave Finney, which most people know that. And, you know, one of the things that we really want people to understand is the origin of the label. And especially in this day and age, there's just a lot of things going on in the world. We want people to understand that the label comes from a piece of art by Francisco Goya. And it is... actually Dave Finney's, parents gifted a copy of an etching to him when he was, a young kid, and he used it as the inspiration for The Prisoner. And that's what we have on the label is Francisco Goya at the time was going through a time in his life when it was really difficult. It was the Peninsular Wars in the 18th century. And it was a time for him when he just saw all of this chaos and, you know, just bad things going on in his world. And so this is an etching from the Disasters of War series. And it's actually called, in translation, The Little Prisoner. So, you know, when we look at prisoner, you know, like packaging and stuff like that, we want to, you know, we want to be artistic about it. We want to be thoughtful about it. And we want people to look at the label and, you know, make them kind of wonder, how did that come about? Or what's in that bottle? You know, and typically on our bottles, we don't put a lot of information. So there isn't like a huge back label with, you know, the elevation of the vineyards and the soil and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty right. Nondescript. So that's a little bit about the prisoner.
Minimalist. I'd say minimalist, right?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very minimalist. Yeah. Which is good. It keeps people thinking, guessing. But we want them to guess in the right way.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that, like for me, my background is in graphic design in print. And so one of the things I was first drawn to was the label because it's also framed. It's interesting because obviously it's this piece of fine art, this painting, but it's also framed in a way that's almost like a Polaroid.
Oh,
you know what yeah. I mean? And yeah. I thought that was really cool, like a juxtaposition. Obviously that's not probably the intention, but I thought it kind of caught my eye first from like, from, you know, 10, 15 feet away on the shelf. And then I was like, what's that? And then I was like, oh, this is a painting. And then you realize it's kind of like the subtitle below it. And this, The Prisoner, just like, it just kind of blew up. Right. I mean, like it's one of the quickest growth of wine, of a wine that we've kind of seen in our like kind of like modern history in the industry. Right. I mean, like it was something like it took 2 years and it was like, everyone was talking about it. It seemed like,
yeah.
Right at the like 2000 mark, somewhere around there.
Right. Yep. That's when it really started taking off. You know, and it's just what I think one of the things that's just made it so popular is just how approachable it is, you know? And so when we look at wines across the Prisoner Wine Company portfolio, and we'll, you know, get into talking about more of that later, you know, they all have kind of the same common style running through them, but there's a deliberate intention to make them different, you know, mm-hmm. but have that common theme. And Prisoner, what I love about the origin of it is how it is a blend that came about from different growers, you know, in Napa Valley that, you know, were growing heritage varieties that were brought over in the 1800s. And, you know, I think when we think about Napa Valley in this day and age, it's Cabernet, it's Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, you know?
Right.
So there's not a ton of diversity, but, you know, there are a lot of pockets of the Zinfandel, Syrah, Charbonneau, you know, these other, you know, Italian varieties that really is what Napa was. And so we partner with a ton of growers and getting, you know, little lots here and there of, you know, what like their livelihood is, what their, you know, third, fourth generation farm is. And I think that's what makes it special for me is, you know, their livelihood is our livelihood. Our livelihood is their livelihood. And we partner in it together and keep each other going. You know, there's really no other blend like it still today.
You know, I like that you touched on that, because a lot of times I think people forget, because, you know, especially if you visit Napa Valley or Sonoma, like any kind of like real rich wine region, you see like all these big build outs of these huge estate vineyard tasting rooms and all this stuff. And you're just like, man, this is like, it's like everything is like so baller and extravagant and everything. But at the end of the day, this is it's an agricultural product. Right.
Yep.
And that's, I love going back to that, because like I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, and like, I when I'm driving through wine country, I feel like I see it in maybe a different way. I'm not saying like, oh, like no one gets it, you know, like anything like that. Yeah. But I feel like I'm driving through farmland, you know, like even yeah. going to Cognac, like my first trip to Cognac, we were flew into Bordeaux and we're driving in Cognac, and like, and I was looking out the window of the bus we were in, and I was like, man, this reminds me a lot of Oklahoma. You know, this is not what I was expecting. Even like the vineyards, like, you know, the vineyards in Cognac, there's like tons of sunflowers. And so like you kind of, it's kind of like mixed in together, and you're just like, this just looks like farmland, like not super industrial farmland, but like farmland, you know? And I feel like wine country here in California, like that's what I really connect with. And then of course, yeah, you've got this like beautiful bottle that, you know, you got charged like 15 times for when you go to like Del Posto or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the day, it's really an agricultural product. And I like that you touched on the partnership with different farmers, basically for sourcing grapes and finding the right ones. And I think that's a really important part that doesn't get like really touched on too much with the wine industry. It's always about like, you know, the bottle, and you know, like where it's placed and like how it's being served. And at the end of the day, it's like your terroir isn't just like a fancy word that gets thrown around with wine nerds. It's a real thing, you know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. And, you know, I think what makes me really resonate with The Prisoner is, it's fun. I like to see myself as fun. And it's, you know, it's down to earth. You come to the winery, you come to the tasting room. It's bitchin'. It's, you know, it's not stodgy. It's not gaudy. It's just, I remember when it first opened, it's like, man, I just want to work in here. You got the music going, you know, mm-hmm. high ceilings, it's airy. There's great food, you know, and
speaking
it's just
of,
fun.
I love that the chef, Chef Brett on the website, it says this for the Chardonnay. It says Chef Brett recommends pairing The Prisoner Chardonnay with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, that's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the kitchen is amazing. Like I can be kind of picky. You wouldn't know it by looking at me, but you know, I can be kind of picky, and, it's just like, I just don't care when I go into that kitchen, and we're having a meal. I don't ask a lot of questions because it just tastes good. It's
just
always
happens.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a, like sensory overload experience. It's absolutely amazing. You know, and I think Chef Brett too, you know, he has a lot of kind of Asian Indian twists on his meals. And so it's like, you know, with our wines, the different varieties, it gives him like a playground to work in. And it's not just like, here, have your ribeye, you know, nothing against a ribeye, but, you know, it's just, it allows for much more creativity for him.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a ribeye.
No, nothing wrong with a ribeye. Yeah. I was eyeballing the tomahawks at Whole Foods.
So I like, to me, okay, I kind of want to go back to just a little bit. I mean, yeah, the juice is amazing, right? Everyone knows that. From a business point of view, for me, because I watched it happen, right? So I turned 21 around the same time that this started. And so, like, I remember even in, like, Oklahoma City, like people buzzing about it, you know, something that was like started out as such a small brand and then it just fucking exploded. Like, how do you think that happened? Is it, I mean, obviously it's a great product, but was it like any kind of like marketing? Was it just something that clicked? Was it just like a magic moment? I mean, cause that does happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, at that time, you know, Dave Finney still owned it and he is like a marketing mastermind. So, right. I'm not exactly sure how he did it. I know that I don't have that skill set. yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, a lot of hand selling, yeah. Educating people about it, getting out there, you know, knowing the right people. I think it's just, you know, kind of a combination of all of those things.
There's something kind of like, I don't know, to me, there's always been, and maybe it's just in the name or what, but there's something kind of defiant and kind of punk rock and kind of fuck you about The Prisoner, yep, you know?
Yeah. I also like that about it.
Yeah. And I think that to me is kind of what attracted me to it, being like, you know, an old punk and like it really spoke to me, like just, oh, The Prisoner. Yeah. Fuck y'all. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that was supposed to be the message, but it definitely was like, I was like, yeah, all right. This is like something like it spoke to me in a way where it's like, okay, the wine industry is kind of old and stodgy and like kind of like uppity in California, like just the Northern California wine region. I'm not saying that Paso Robles is a shit talking wine country or wine region because I don't really know them that well. But it just felt like everything was kind of like stuffy and like snooty and like then along comes The Prisoner. And the cool thing about it was like, it's not like it was a cheap wine to start, price point. It was like, but it was at the exact right price point. It's like that, like to me, it was like, you know, that specific balance of like price point being like, all right, this is something of quality, but it's also like, kind of like, screw y'all, we're doing this differently, you know? And that is very attractive to people, especially people like me. And, it turns out that the wine was actually good too, you know? So it just seemed like this perfect storm that happened all at the same time. And, I don't know. I feel like, you know, there's in the spirits side of the industry, there's like some pretty hardcore fanaticism and brand loyalty, you know, people getting tattoos of like, for instance, I have a Fernet Branca tattoo. And you know, people will get like, even on like the lowbrow side, like they'll get like the lady in the moon from the Miller High Life bottle, you know, like, but like, I've actually seen a couple of people with Prisoner tattoos and that's like,
really?
Yeah, totally. Super nerdy sommeliers in New York City. And like, but like, it's like, I've never seen that with another brand, another wine label or winery. Like I've never, I mean, I would get like Carlo Rossi's signature, like tattooed on my butt or something, you know, just for fun.
Oh yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's just like, it probably has something to do with the fact that it is technically kind of a younger brand up against these other ones, because it feels like something kind of that was like younger and fresher and something that you could actually kind of attach yourself to and go along for the ride. It was like, I hate to say this, but it was like kind of like a wine for a new generation of sorts, you know, and that sounds so stupid, but it really was, and it is, you know?
Right. I feel like it gave people who maybe were not confident about trying wine because of, you know, just, I think sometimes what we think about some people who drink wine, I think it gave them an in.
Yeah, for sure.
To try something that was super soft and bold and, you know, it's dense and tasty, you know, that they were maybe not confident to drink other wines before, or, I'm trying to think of the right word. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't think of the right word. So
it's hard, right? It's like kind of this perfect storm, right? That like just worked all together at the same time. It's great timing, great, like product, everything. It all just happened. And yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like it gave like, say like someone who was new to the world of wine, it gave them an in because it was like, all right, cool. I know this is fucking badass. This is delicious. And if I bring this to a dinner party, I'm going to like actually like wow people who have been wine drinkers for, you know, 40, 50 years.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this let's take a quick break and we'll get back in just a couple minutes and continue talking with Chrissy from The Prisoner. We have 1 week until St. Patrick's Day.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my God, Greg, how much Guinness are you going to drink?
I'm going to drink a lot because, I mean, think about it, man. Think about it. This is not just St. Patrick's Day 2022. This is the first St. Patrick's Day that we really get to enjoy since 2019. Now, did I enjoy St. Patrick's Day in 2019? Not really. Did I have to work? Yes. Did I have to deal with a bunch of drunk people? Yes. But this year, now that I'm like, not going to have to be behind a bar. I'm going to, you know what? And I live in a very Irish neighborhood. I'm going to go out and I'm going to really enjoy myself because, you know, we haven't gotten this chance in a while. And like we were talking about at the top of the show, everything in moderation, especially moderation. So if you feel like going out and having a good time on St. Patrick's Day this year, I say, yeah, go for it. Let yourself have some Guinness. Cut loose a little bit.
Yeah. And even if you don't go out, you can celebrate at home. I mean, there's all kinds of resources at DiageoBarAcademy.com for spirits and Guinness in food pairings. You know, speaking of moderation, you got to have the food with the drink, right? St. Patrick's Day is all about like, it's kind of like a marathon. So you got to make sure you're pairing it with food too. So at DiageoBarAcademy.com, there's all kinds of cool information about Guinness and about St. Patrick's Day. And like we just keep going back to DiageoBarAcademy.com because it's like it's like peeling back the layers. There's always more to learn there, right? And it's all free.
I know. There's always, when you think you've gotten to the end of something, like it's even stuff that you didn't know that you didn't know. Like 2019 me would have loved to have had their, you know, their Guinness Essentials list of how to deal with what is, you know, a delightful and fairly unique and occasionally persnickety beverage that is very much a part of, you know, every March 17th. So if you are wondering how to get it to pour exactly right, definitely go check out Diageo Bar Academy because they've got you covered on that. And a lot of surprising things you didn't know about Irish stouts.
That's right. You can check it all out at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's D-I-A-G-E-O BarAcademy.com. Sláinte.
Hey everyone, I'm Jesse Sparks, host of the new podcast, The One Recipe, from the team behind The Splendid Table. This pod is all about that one recipe that you lean on. The one you share with friends, the one you make when you need a little love, and the one you know will work every single time. Every week, I talk with chefs and gifted cooks from all over the world about their one and the story behind it. We're here to help you build your kitchen library one dish at a time. Follow The One Recipe wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. In the studio today, we have Chrissy from The Prisoner, Chrissy Whitman, the director of winemaking. And we were talking a lot about The Prisoner on the first half of the show. You are expanding the brand. And I didn't realize that this was one of yours, but it makes complete sense. I saw this bottle on the shelf maybe less than a year ago, and I was immediately drawn to it kind of in the same way that I was with The Prisoner, with the packaging. The Saldo, it has this, it's like a cab style bottle. And then it's just got a little piece of red label tape that says Saldo. It's that old school, Greg, you know, those old, before we had the Brother P Touch label makers, you know, the ones that you would like punch like it would like do the click thing and it would pop, yeah. It would emboss the tape, you know?
Oh yeah. Yep.
So this is what it is. It's the red tape with the white embossed letters and just says Saldo on it. It's like the coolest fucking label. And so I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to buy it because I really appreciate the minimalist kind of approach to the label. And then of course, come to find out it's part of the Prisoner family. So can you talk about Saldo? And also, I know you have another one called Unshackled coming out. Let's hear about those.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I think the main thing that we want to, you know, make sure that we, you know, I kind of convey is that, you know, there's a distinct style that we're trying to put together across the three brands from a very deliberate sourcing strategy. So Unshackled, you know, is kind of at the more affordable price point, you know, to kind of get people familiar with the brand. And so a lot of the sourcing that comes with Unshackled is Central Coast, some North Coast, and Lodi. And, you know, I have like just kind of like my terminology as to how I differentiate between the three brands. And so when I think of Unshackled, it's fun and fresh with a side of serious. And a lot of that is driven by the sourcing. It's, you know, at this point we've got Cabernet, we have a red blend and a Sauvignon Blanc. And then we will be coming out with a Pinot Noir and a Chardonnay towards the end of the year. So it's, you know, just really trying to, you know, fill in a niche at that price point with Prisoner style and, you know, just the great quality and consistency that's in every bottle that we make. So, so Unshackled, super fun. Super fun wine. When we look at Saldo is, you know, kind of morphing into a different type of brand under the Prisoner Wine Company. You know, it's going to be our kind of brand that gives people an opportunity to explore varieties they may not be super familiar with, but have that really, you know, sweet ass packaging. And so, you know, I see that as like, it's fun and exploratory, you know, more North Coast, Sierra Foothills, Sonoma. And, you know, really all started with the Zinfandel. Yeah. And it's just super spicy and food friendly. Has a bit more maybe tannin and acidity to it than, you know, some of the other Prisoner wines. So it's really just kind of made a name for itself just by virtue of having it as a Zinfandel. And then now we're expanding it with another red blend that is Petite Syrah based, which is one of the very, very special grapes that we get to work with across the portfolio. And then we are also launching Chenin Blanc.
Which I'm very excited about. I love Chenin Blanc.
And it's really good. Yeah. Like, I'm just super happy with it. And it's got a nice little green label on it. And
it's the green label tape.
It just looks, yeah, green label tape and blue label tape on the red blend. Nice. It's awesome. And then we have...
Greg, are you like ready to come out and visit me so we can do some wine tasting? Like, how are you feeling about all this?
I mean, I'm super stoked about all this. I mean, this is I've said this before, but wine is definitely my blind spot in the world of fun drinkables. You know, I've got, you know, the world of spirits down and beer down, but you know, as much as, you know, a reasonable human being should, and then a little bit beyond that, I think. But I like wines, and that there is still sort of a it's nice to know that there are still new things to learn and discover. And it's like, I know what I like, but the world is so vast and deep that there's, you know, I would love to come out and just hang out in the Prisoner tasting room for an afternoon and just sort of try all this and learn about
these wines. Let me
know. Yeah.
Let me know.
Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you about the, because one thing we were talking about earlier is kind of the aesthetic of the Prisoner, right? And how it sort of breaks down that wall that even to me is a little bit intimidating of like, oh man, this is such a vast world. There's so much to know. It's like, no matter how deep you get into it, you'll only ever be scratching the surface, right? And I'm looking at all these new bottles that you guys have, and I'm noticing that they don't, like Damon said, he was looking at Saldo. He's like, whoa, that's a cool label. This, you know, this wine sounds delicious. Oh, and it's a Prisoner wine. You know, I wanted to know sort of what the mentality was for going with this very sort of varied aesthetic that you guys have. Like all the bottles are kind of different shapes. They look different. Are you kind of trying to, you know, say, hey, this is within our family, but, you know, don't come into this with any preconceived notions about what it is, because we want you to try it on its own merits. Like, what's sort of the advantage to that kind of mix and match packaging you guys are doing?
Yeah, you know, and actually, I think our packaging has gotten a bit more like similar across, you know, different SKUs and, you know, more brand specific. But like when you come to the DTC, you know, the tasting room, we've got even more different labels, names, all that kind of, and varieties. So I think it's, you know, when I think of it, it's just, there's a mysteriousness to it. And you know, you see it and you just want to buy it just because you think it's cool.
I was going to say, to me, there's like, just the, from a design point of view, there's an attitude that it has that is unlike any other wine, like winery out there in the valley. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, poking people, you know, a little bit, you know, like,
yeah,
check this out. We made this badass wine, but also, we just slapped a 70s, like, yeah, label label tape on it, and there you go, enjoy.
Right, I mean, there's no pretentiousness.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
It, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, this is what you got. You know, take it or leave it, and that kind of shows the attitude. You know,
yeah.
I know when we talk about, you know, just the Prisoner and some of what it stands for is, you know, fearless and peerless.
Cool.
We break the rules when rules hold us back. And so we just want to keep continuing to push that. And, you know, just, I mean, in everything that we do, we're always looking to push the limit. Whether it's, you know, winemaking, blending different varieties together that, you know, have traditionally been like, oh my goodness, like you can't do that, you know. And with everything, blends, packaging, you know, just a general attitude of this is the flexibility that we have, and you know, it's just a mindset. Always looking for something better.
Yeah, I think there's only a few wineries out there that can like pull off that kind of that attitude and outlook, and like just be like, here we are, what's up, you know, like, we know this is good, you know, like, and you should too. One that comes to mind is Tank up in,
Calistoga.
Calistoga. They're just like,
yeah,
they're in an old gas station. They're just kind of like, yeah, screw it. Like, we're just doing, we're making orange wine in the Upper Valley. And like, we're slapping, like, you know, they've got, you can buy a cigar box guitar in their tasting room if you want. You know, it's like just kind of crazy. Like, I love the new attitude of the wine industry in Napa Valley. It's really cool. And like, obviously the Prisoner really like kind of introduced that, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, I'm sure you too. But this is really cool. I love that, you know, for something that started as the Prisoner that is so like such a standard, you know, for modern wine, that you're expanding the lines out like this. And it just kind of goes to show that, like, I mean, growth isn't a bad thing, you know, it's a very good thing if it's all done the right way. And this is all done the right way. And are there anything like, I mean, I know like we were talking about, you know, earlier in the show about like, you know, the world kind of like slowly but surely seemingly opening back up. Are like, it's, there's all kinds of fun stuff that's coming along this summer and the spring. I mean, I know that like one big thing that a lot of people look forward to in Napa Valley, I guess it's really Napa town, is like thing like Bottle Rock, which is a big concert festival. I mean, they did it last year, but it was a little, it was kind of, I don't know what the word is for this, but it was still we're still deep in COVID. So it was like, right. Meg Thee Stallion like kicked ass. But you know, like,
oh, she's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Guns N' Roses got kicked off early.
right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, do you ever do any like, kind of partnership collaborations with, any kind of events like that in the Valley?
Yeah, so we have partnered with Bottle Rock before, and we will be continuing to partner with them this year.
Cool.
And we'll be serving, we'll actually be kind of like an introduction, you know, of Saldo and the line to the public, as we'll have a cabana featuring the Saldo wines, and they'll also be poured at all the concessions. So, it's going to be nice to, you know, to get it out there. You know, many people know who the Prisoner is, you know, and they're going to be nice to put some attention on Saldo and gain some fans. And, Bottle Rock is always a good time. So
yeah, it makes it's like a perfect partnership too, because Prisoner and Saldo and Unshackled, it's very like rock and roll kind of vibe that they that you put off with them. So it's perfect partnership for, you know, the big concert festival that happens out here, which I'm really looking forward to. Some of my friends are playing, the Black Crowes and some other friends coming in from the East Coast. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And obviously you'll be there, right?
Yep.
Signing autographs, bottles.
Oh God, that is the funniest thing to me.
Why? It happens all the time in the booze world.
I know. It's just funny, you know.
I was hanging out with Tito.
I'm just like, who am I? But yeah. You know,
no, I got Tito beverage of Tito's vodka to sign his first bottle, and my buddies back in the day. I was down there like 15, 16 years ago in Austin, and you know, it's not like a place where they do tours or anything like that, like they do in Bourbon Country. But I was down there for a like kind of Burning Man festival that happens out in the Hill Country outside of Austin. Mm-hmm. And so I was meeting a bunch of friends. But before that, I wanted to go visit Tito and say what's up. And so I went out in the country where his distillery is, and you know, he's still got like wild dogs running around everywhere and, you know, shotguns and all that shit. And so he was kind of expanding his holding tank, barn and all this stuff. And we were, he just wanted to show me around. So we had these old test tubes and we pulled like right off the still, like at 170 proof. And we're just like sipping on this 170 proof vodka, walking around this farm. And, we get to the end and, he was like, "Hey man, you should take a bottle. You're going camping, right? With some friends." And I was like, "Yeah, I am." And so he pulls a liter bottle out of a case and hands it to me. I'm like, "Oh dude, thank you. But you're going to sign it, right?" And he's like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Why would I do that?" And he's like, I was like, "Because that's what people do now, you know, like the distill, you're the guy." Like, and he's like, "What do I say on it?" I was like, "Well, to Damon, rock and roll, Tito, you know, something like that." Yeah. And so he's like,
"Just
okay,
draw a little heart on there and call it a day."
Yeah. And then he hands me the bottle and he walks me into my car after drinking 170 proof vodka straight off the still. And he's like, so yeah, going camping with some friends. Like, how many friends are you going camping with?" And I was like, "Oh, like 2,500. And he's like, "Oh shit. Then he goes back inside and he grabs a case of 1.75 liters. He's like, you should probably take this then. So he gave me a case and a liter and signed a bottle. And I was like, that's,
wow,
that's why you sign the bottle. Cause like, I, like, you know, it would have been cool, like, to just get a bunch of free vodka for my camp out. But like the signed bottle was really like the icing, you know? And, so
yeah,
you should definitely be signing some bottles.
Oh yeah.
Bring a Sharpie.
I'll have my pen.
There you go. You'll have your label maker.
This is just the wildest thing to me is like, right? An East Coaster. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, just sign them with a piece of label tape with your name with Chrissy Whitman stamped in it.
Oh my God.
That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. I got to sock that away in my mind.
Yeah. I'll remind you when we get close to Bottle
Rock. Oh yeah.
Cause I'm going to be hanging out with you there and maybe Greg can come out too.
That would be
such a culture shock for me. Like I'm an East Coaster. So hearing you guys talk about like, this rock and roll wine festival thing is just like, it's such a different world for me. So I'll have to come out there and see how the other half lives and, you know, get a lot of things personally labeled by Chrissy Whitman of the Prism.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good time, man. I'll take you to French Laundry.
Sweet.
I mean, sorry. I will not. I'll show it to you. We'll drive by it.
Exactly.
And then we'll go to St. Helena and check out the Prisoner Tasting Room. Where can people find information about that, by the way?
Yeah. So our website is theprisonerwinecompany.com. So you can look for some information on reservations and different wines, info about the Prisoner. We also have Instagram, Prisoner Wine Co. I would bet you would see some of the Bottle Rock information there. And we're also looking at maybe hosting some after events. So keep your eyes peeled for that. So that'll be awesome. So there we go.
Yeah. Nice. Also, Greg, here's something that we don't get to talk about on the show very often because we're mostly talking about spirits, but you can join the wine club at the Prisoner and get your seasonal allocations if you'd like. Right.
Ooh.
And we got a shitload of new wines coming out. Shitload. Nice. And they're very small. They're small productions. Some are partnerships. Some are, we have a three pack coming out. It's Wine for Justice. So, you know, these just new things continuing to come out and kind of separate us out from the rest.
Yeah. Which you've always done very well. This has been awesome, Chrissy. I've been doing it for over 11 years now. And I rarely get to talk about wine, but it's something that I'm a member at several wineries. Like I love living out here and being able to go to the wineries and working in wine country. And so this has been a blast for me to talk to you about some of the best wine out there. And, you know, that's another thing too, is like, we don't really talk about wine much, but when we do, we get the best people on. So thanks again for being on the show today. This has been great. And I hope Greg's learned a lot. He's learned
I'll
that
tell
he
you what,
needs
I'll tell you what, man. Well, this reminds me of, when I was living in DC, I was living right down the street from this, Italian wine spot called A Litteri. If you're ever in the neighborhood, go. It's one of only three wine stores in the world that have been recognized by the Italian government as selling like a really, really excellent selection of Italian wines.
Nice.
One of them's in New York. I think the other one is in Japan. The one in DC is in a warehouse district that has a bunch of halal slaughterhouses, a possibly defunct strip club, a 24-hour subway with bulletproof glass in front of the sandwich making counter, and this amazing world-class wine shop. And it was run by this guy named Ken, who actually passed away a few years ago, which is a huge loss because he was an amazing person who either owned multiple black t-shirts that said got wine or wear the same shirt to work every single day. I couldn't figure it out. But, you know, I realized when I was like, you know, getting further and further into the bar industry that, you know, again, I knew beer pretty well. I knew spirits pretty well. I didn't really know shit about wine. So I went to him and I was like, hey, man, I don't know much about what you sell, you seem to know a lot about what you're talking about. I'm going to come here once a week. Just hook me up with a cool bottle of wine. We'll talk about it and I'll learn where we go from here. And I did this for a year. And I thought at the end of the year, I'd have a pretty good idea of like the scope of the general like world of wine. No, I knew specifically about Italian reds. Every single week for a year, I got a different Italian red. And I know those pretty goddamn well at this point. One time, I think I got a rosé because I asked him for something different. He begrudgingly gave me something that was not quite an Italian red. But the thing I sort of took away from that experience is that, one, wines from Puglia kick ass. And two, there's always so much more to explore. Like you really can do it literally once a week for a year and only just scratch the surface of one very specific part of this world. So all of which is to say, I'll see you in the tasting room.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Chrissy.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
It's been a good time.
All right. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out The Prisoner. If you haven't already, check out The Prisoner and check out Solo and Unshackled because they're kicking ass. And check out other programs on heritageradionetwork.org like this one. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station to keep us going. Until next time, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.